Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and he saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up and he saw the place in the distance. And he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. He placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there. He arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac. He laid him on the altar on the top of the wood. And then he reached out his hand and he took his knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham!" "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and he took the ram and he sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to that day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." Well, I have a hard time reading that story. It always just makes me emotional. God calls Abraham's name. I mean, what a powerful thing to hear God call your name. And implied in Abraham's initial answer, "Here I am," is his commitment to go anywhere and do anything that God asked him to do. And I wonder, after God told him what he wanted him to do, I wonder if Abraham carried on a debate in his own mind with himself about, was that really God? Did I hear right? I wonder if he was able to sleep that night before they got up and left for Moriah, which was about 3 days away. The broader context of the story of Genesis, the story of Abraham, clues us in to how special this child was to Abraham. This was a child God had promised that would be born to him and his wife Sarah in their old age. This was the son of promise. He had waited for this son for many years. All his hopes and dreams were wrapped up in this son that God had promised. And now this shocking command that God gives him. There's a lot of things in this passage. There's a lot of things that are disturbing. I'm not going to try to explain all of them. I just want us to get a couple of things about Abraham and about God in this. We learn two things, I think, about Abraham in this text. The first, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, or no one that Abraham loved more than he loved God, the giver of all good gifts, not even his son. Can you say that? Can I say that? Jesus said the first commandment, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength." Abraham clearly did. The second thing we learn about Abraham, he had this incredible faith that God would not fail to deliver on the promises yet to be fulfilled in his son Isaac. In verse 5, did you note how he speaks to his servants? He says, you guys wait here. The boy and I are going to go on. We will go and worship. And then he says, then we will come back to you. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews reveals what Abraham was thinking as he climbed that mountain, Mount Moriah, with his son. Hebrews 11:19, it says, Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Abraham clearly believed that his son Isaac would be at his side when he came back down that mountain. There was no doubt in Abraham's heart. He was fully committed to God. He would hold nothing back. He understood that everything he had, from his flocks and his herds to family heirlooms that were precious to his children, were gifts from God. And he held every gift from God with an open hand, thankful for all, delighting in all, dearly treasuring his favorites, but grasping possessively, obsessively to none of them. So when God called him to give up his most precious treasure, the one gift he would be most tempted to love above the gift giver, well, he started for Mount Moriah. Just as Abraham responded to the call to climb the mountain and to worship and make a sacrifice to God, in a similar way, we have been challenged to climb this metaphorical mountain that we call a capital stewardship program, because it's about coming before God together. It's about climbing higher. It's about seeing the vision God has for this church and what we can do, what God can do through us in this community and in the world. It's climbing that mountain in order to not just see what God has, not just to experience God's presence, but to make a sacrifice. That's not a small thing. It is a sacrificial commitment each one of us must sense in our heart God calling us to make. Because there's likely to be some in our lives who go, are you crazy? You're going to give what? You're going to sacrifice what to be able to give that? We make this commitment because we've climbed this mountain together to see the vision, the view from the top, the mission and vision that God has called us to and to be a part of. But more than that, far more than that, we bring this gift, this sacrificial offering above what we give regularly because we love God, not because we have to give anything. It's a gift of love. Like Abraham, we too are called to be fully devoted to God, to hold nothing back, to hold every gift with open hands, thankful for all, delighting in all, perhaps dearly treasuring some that are our favorites, but grasping possessively, obsessively none of those gifts and putting none of them before God. Above all, the commitment card that you bring to the altar today is an act of faith and an act of love for Christ our Lord. Because you don't make that sacrifice unless you hear Him calling you. And then the story takes this unexpected turn. We're relieved that it does. Sometimes I like to imagine what it would be like to hear stories like this the first time. and you don't know what's happening or how it's going to end. What a relief. It takes this unexpected turn. Abraham and Isaac reach the summit. He puts the boy on the altar. He's tied up. He reaches his hand into the air. And the angel says at the last minute, stop. He stays the hand of Abraham. And the old man looks up and he sees something. Something tangled in the underbrush. It's a ram. The typical offering. The usual offering. The angel doesn't say so. But Abraham just knows. This is God's provision enabling me to follow through with this commitment to give God an offering out of faith and love. This is it. In bringing our sacrificial gifts to God, we learn what Abraham learned, I think, I hope. On a mountain in Palestine 4,000 years ago, we go to the mountain to sacrifice, to give to the Lord. We wrestle with it, we fast and we pray, and we ask God, and we want to bless God. We want to advance His kingdom. And when we get to the mountain, and we get to the end of the climb, and we're ready to make the sacrifice, and what do we find? He provides it. He provides the very gift that He calls us to make. I'll admit, you've got to have faith to buy that. You've got to believe there really is a God, and He really hears, and that He really provides. I think we do. Genesis 22:14, that last verse we read, I like the way Eugene Peterson translates it in the Message. Abraham named the place God Jireh. God sees to it. That's where we get the saying, on the mountain of God, He sees to it. You see, that word translated provide is the Hebrew word ra'ah. And it's typically translated, in fact, it's translated almost everywhere else in the Old Testament as to see. The connection between seeing and providing, I think, is demonstrated in the noun, the English noun, provision. Let me bring it up here. Provision. It's a compound of two Latin words, pro and vision. Together, pro and vision mean to see beforehand. Provision would mean seeing something beforehand. In God's case, He had anticipated or seen beforehand Abraham's need for a sacrifice, and He would provide it. God saw the ram in the thicket long before it was there. He knew all along that He was going to provide exactly what Abraham needed to sacrifice. Now, the only way to understand this story, this disturbing story in the Old Testament, is in the context of the entire Bible. The Abraham-Isaac story foreshadows another father-son story that takes place about 2,000 years later, where another son becomes a sacrificial lamb. That son, too, would carry a burden of wood on his back to the top of a hill. Some think it's the same hill. Only no ram in the thicket would appear to take his place. No voice would call out, "Do not stretch out your hand and harm the boy." Jesus Christ is the ultimate provision of God for all humanity. The Apostle Paul would write, Romans 8, "He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things?" Abraham believed. All along, he believed that God would provide what he was committed to sacrifice. I believe the same is true for sacrificial commitments that God has put on our hearts for this Capital Stewardship Program. When you bring your commitment card to the altar today, you're saying to God, I think, two things. I hope you're saying these two things. I'll be saying these two things. I bring this gift to you because I love you. And I put nothing before you in my life. And second, we will be saying, I trust you. I trust that you will see to it and enable me to follow through with this crazy commitment that I'm making because I think you're calling me to. So that's where we are. I met someone today who's here for the first time. I assured him. We do commitment cards rarely in this church. Today is one of 3 days in the history of our church we've done this. And it's a good thing today. These cards symbolize something very important for us. Our love for God and our faith that He will see to it. That we can follow through. These cards represent our faith that God's doing something marvelous in this congregation. Building ministry here to our community and beyond. So, we have cards. And I would like each family to have a card. Whether you're a member or not, it doesn't matter. I want you to have the opportunity to be included. I want to read through the card and let's read it together. Although, we believe in the future God has for Pflugerville Community Church. We want to be part of this building renovation project by pledging to give sacrificially the following amount to commit to community stewardship program. And then you fill it out. And if you're going to make a commitment to this, we need you to fill it out completely. And then it gives you some different options. You can commit to giving weekly or monthly or quarterly or annually. This is a 3-year over and above commitment that begins in May. So for my wife and I, we don't have the ability to make one big gift. So we will be giving every month for the next 3 years over and above our regular tithing. Now, some of you are getting real nervous right now, and I apologize for that because I don't want you to be pressured and I don't want you to be pushed. I don't ever want to do that. So you may not be ready to make a financial commitment to this, and that's okay. Here's what I'd like you to do. I would invite you to do. Just put your name on the card and then write a note somewhere on it that says, I'll be praying for this church. Or I'll say a prayer for this church once this morning, and that'd be great. And then when people, we're going to bring our cards to the front, and then you can bring a card to the front. I'm going to give you some time now just to kind of meditate and pray and think about where you're going with this. And remember, I only want people to bring a gift because they love God and they believe in what He's doing here and they really want to participate in this. I don't want anybody to feel pressured. At the end of that story, there's a couple of more verses. There's one more thing that happens there after the ram is offered. And it says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time, and he said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations will be blessed because you have obeyed me. I believe that as we follow in the faith footsteps of Abraham, and as we follow through with the commitments that God will enable us to follow through with, I believe He's going to bless us in a similar fashion. I believe the gospel of Jesus Christ will continue to be proclaimed from this place in our time and for generations to come. I believe our spiritual descendants will be numerous. I believe this church will continue to be a blessing to this city and to many nations. Here's the blessing for today. May God, the God who sees to it, bless the sacrificial gifts we bring and through them bless this community and the whole world. Amen.